Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, The Waiting is the Hardest Part, part of this series, Preparing for Christmas, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, December 3rd, 2023. The closing prayer is given by Pastor Greg Cuzzone. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
The scripture for today is short. It's just two verses from Jeremiah 33, and I'll give some context to it later. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. Here ends our reading. Let's pause for a brief moment of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day. Many of us lead very busy lives, so it's always a gift for us to be here even in silence, and for us, oh God, to quiet our soul, to be aligned with your purposes. So I pray for that this morning, that there would be a stirring in our hearts, that we would leave here as your glad and faithful people, pursuing your purposes in our daily lives. In Christ's name, amen. I hate to wait. Does anyone here like waiting? For anything? Right. There was some wise guy at the last service that raised his hand. We had to escort him out of the building. It was very bad. I hate to wait, and it's hard. And this can be particularly challenging when the stakes are high, when there's a particular outcome we're hoping for, where something substantial hangs in the balance. And this morning, we're going to look at the theme of waiting and what it means for us at Christmas time. Several years ago, in 2007, I was in process with a church in Burlingame I eventually became a pastor of, and I gave an interview, and I thought it went really well. In fact, I thought I just hit it out of the park, and so I was shocked a few days later when all I heard was crickets. Nothing. No follow-up phone call, no plan for another interview, and I was just stunned. I talked to a friend of mine, Reverend Mark Studer, pastor at a church in Pennsylvania. He had just gone through a process and received a call at a church. And he said to me, he said, you know, Henry, to quote Tom Petty, the waiting is the hardest part. You take it on faith, you take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part. You know that song? No. Don't you start. No. There was an Irish tenor here 5 days ago. It's very embarrassing what I just did compared to what happened here. Yeah, so one of my big thinkers, right? Theologians, philosophers, poets, Tom Petty. He's right up there with Dr. Seuss and Charles Schulz from Peanuts. Now, there's a lot of truth there. The waiting is the hardest part. We all know the struggle with waiting. Well, why is it that waiting's so hard? And I think there's a number of reasons. To highlight one, we have, as a society, instantitis, right? It's a disease. All Americans have it. If you live in North America or just the Western world, you have instantitis. We want our custom-ordered life, and we want it now. So that's just a fact of life. We can all have instantitis. Another reason is that we are wed to certainty. We do not like having any kind of a sensation of life being out of control, particularly in good-sized areas of our lives or where there is something significant, as I said earlier, that hangs in the balance. So we are just wed to certainty. Feeling a loss of control is very, very hard. But another reason that waiting is hard is quite simply, if we're honest ourselves, we can have a hard time trusting God with certain things in our lives that are very personal. Maybe it's our vocations, maybe it's our relationships, maybe it's our money. And so when something big happens in our lives, we just decide this thing is too big for us to trust God with it. And we can have a hard time fully surrendering. Waiting can be hard. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I had a hard time. This is germane to what Greg just shared. I had a hard time waiting at Christmas. So I was that kid who was up in the attic weeks before Christmas, looking for the presents, the one addressed to me. And I would just, you know, go to one side of the present and I would peel back the tape. You know, it was really a fine art. I became very skilled at it. You know, where you don't peel the actual, the present or the paper, right? So, and that was before YouTube, and I got good at it. I should have made a YouTube video. And eventually, my parents were on to me. They fired off a few warning shots about not doing that. And eventually, I learned my lesson. By the way, when the tenor Emmett Cahill was here on Tuesday, he shared a story about doing this, and his parents were really on to him and got upset and gave him a warning. And one year, they hid the presents in such a special place, meticulously hid it. On Christmas morning, he had no presents to open because they forgot where they hid the presents, right? So word to the wise. I probably have some junior hires and high schools in here, students in here. Just pay attention, guys, okay? Don't get too cute. Stay out of the attic. Well, friends, today we are looking at the theme of waiting, and we are also starting a series of messages called Preparing for Christmas. And what we're wanting for you to do is look beyond the decorating that happens at Christmas, getting our homes ready, our sanctuary ready, buying presents, right? Eating chocolate from our Advent calendars, though to be sure, I will have my fair share. You probably will too. And frequenting holiday parties. This season, which is really, it's called Advent, preparation for Christmas, is something we want to do. What we want to do with that is we want to do what we're calling soul preparation, preparing our hearts and souls for the actual Christmas event, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day of the arrival of Christ. And the word Advent means coming. And so we prepare for Christ's arrival. Christmas technically isn't until December the 25th. And what we're doing is we're looking at four postures or states of being during Christmas. The first one is today, it's waiting. Next week, we're looking at longing. What does our soul truly long for? Then hoping. And then the fourth week, we're doing responding and we're doing celebrating. But we're going to start here with today, which really is the first position we have at Christmas, or the first state of being, this time of waiting. And the scripture I read to you was really short. It was just like a baby scripture, just a couple of verses. So I want to flesh it out. And it was a foretelling from the prophet Jeremiah of the coming of Jesus Christ. So ultimately it is a messianic scripture, we will call, right? But before that, there's some historical context. So Jeremiah, at this point in Jeremiah 33, was imprisoned. He got in trouble by Israel because they didn't like his prophecies. So to shut him up, they put him in jail because he was prophesying something that actually happened. He was prophesying that King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon would overtake Israel and just pummel all of Jerusalem, its temple, and take over the land. They didn't like that. He ended up being right. So now, though, in chapter 33, he is starting to foretell that there will be some good things that are going to happen, that this won't be forever. And he says this: there shall once more be heard the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And so he's speaking to some restoration in daily life, that things will improve temporarily. But then he goes on to say later that there will be one who will emerge from the line of David, a righteous branch that will sprout from the line of David, who will bring unexpected hope and unexpected joy. And this part of the verse is a messianic text. And then finally, it says that I read to you before, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of David. So from here on out, what happens is the dynasty of David, all the kings, it's over. No more high-powered rulers. Done. They will wait 400 years for Christmas. 400 years. So this text is prophesying, and like 299 like it in the Old Testament, by the way, it came true, are foretelling of the coming of Christ, which can sometimes put just waiting in perspective for us. We take for granted the presence of Christ, presence of God in our lives. For Israel, it was a different story. There is a lot of waiting. And there's waiting not just there in the prophet Jeremiah. There's waiting at the very first Christmas. Mary is foretold by the angel Gabriel that she will be with child and give birth to a baby, and his name will be Jesus. There are a lot of unknown things that will happen during that time. How is it going to look that she's not married yet, right? There's scandal written all over this. So there's things that aren't written into Scripture. We can think about how that would be for her in the waiting. How is this all going to turn out? How do I trust God with this? How do I lean into it? There's also another character in Luke chapter 1, the same book where Mary is foretold of the birth of Jesus, which is, it's two people actually, Elizabeth and Zechariah, who will give birth to a son eventually, who is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. So they have been infertile, and they are growing old in years. Jeremiah is a temple priest, and he was very faithful in his calling, though he was one among Israel, waiting 400 years, or the amount of however long his lifetime was, waiting for the coming of a Messiah. And he was somebody who would have to wait. And Scripture tells us that he and his wife were faithful and continue to be followers of God in his ways, and trusted God with the circumstances of their lives, which is to say that there is waiting at the very first Christmas. And the Bible tells a lot of stories of waiting. There are innumerable characters that practice waiting. But here's what I want you to think about today. What I want you to think about this morning is the difference between what it means to wait passively versus waiting actively. What does that look like in our lives? And here's what waiting passively looks like. It's when we endure something, right? And we tell God that we're in it, but inwardly, we're kind of doing this. God, just tell me when it's over. God, I don't want to go through this. And we even shake our fists at God. And we endure it passively. Maybe even we're less faithful to following God and pursuing his purposes in our lives. Waiting actively looks different. Waiting actively in our lives is discerning God's purposes. It means continuing to be active and passionate worshipers in our lives. It means having an active devotional life where we are seeking God's ways and God's purposes for us. And I want to tell you that Zechariah was somebody in the Bible that modeled what it looks like to wait actively for something in our lives. And just by way of review, he was, well, just reviewing what I said a minute ago, his temple priest had big responsibilities. Israel had been waiting for 400 years. And there are some things that he saw in his life. And Andy Stanley, the pastor, he points this out. He said, Zechariah, the temple priest, would have vivid memory of the Roman general Pompey in his conquest over Jerusalem, barreling his way into the Jewish temple, deep into the Holy of Holies, where only the priest could enter, and desecrate it without any type of retaliation or defense from Yahweh. Zechariah would have reason to be disheartened, and many during his time would pay devotion to the chief deity of the Roman state, Jupiter, as all-powerful. Even Jews turned away from their religion toward it. And yet Zechariah remained faithful. He didn't lose faith in God. He remained committed to God. And I just love reading that, thinking about all he had to endure in his day and all the reasons sometimes we turn away from God, really in facing far less than this incredibly faithful man of God did in this passage. And never mind the fact that he and his wife, throughout their lives, dealt with being infertile. Right? And not having a baby and having these high hopes. They greatly anticipated having a family of their own. And later, we learn, of course, that God does tell them in their late age, you are going to give birth to a son who becomes John the Baptist. That happened late in their years. All the way up till then, he remained faithful. In fact, it even tells us in the Scripture, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So both Zechariah and Elizabeth practice actively waiting on God, waiting for a Savior, and also surrendering to God, this incredibly personal part of their lives. And I want us to first think about this and what Stanley shared about Zechariah in terms of some of the reasons we can feel apathetic toward God in the time in which we live right now. Right now, we are seeing the rise of the nuns, right? This new category that's been given to people who are non-religiously affiliated really to anything, 30% plus people, and this number keeps rising, the most you've ever seen in the history of our nation. Some of us can see that and despair, and we're saying, come on, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. There needs to be an awakening. There needs to be a change. This is very concerning. Others of us, or maybe all of us, the grave division going on in our country right now, I think we should be very concerned. All of us are probably concerned about the direction our country could be going, and with the erosion of democracy, many of us are concerned about that. Some of us, and I'm not saying this is all of us, some of us are concerned about the climate. So whether or not you think climate change is a real thing, what we do know is average temperatures are changing, and for some people, it's a really alarming thing, right? Other areas too, things like inflation. So what can happen in the midst of that, of actively waiting for good news or for something to change, we can kind of do this. We can actually grow really cold hearts toward God and toward other people. This can affect our neighbor love, our greatest call, to love God and to love and serve our neighbor. And we have to pay attention to that as we actively await the work of a Savior in our world, in our lives. Need to be mindful. But I want to get a little more personal to your waiting, because I'm guessing that all of us here in some way are waiting on something. I was thinking about this week and preparing the message. I'm trying to think of a time in my life where I wasn't waiting for like something, right? It's just part of life. Like, you're always waiting. You're always anticipating something. There's always that one thing that's missing or that one thing you're hoping for. It may be big, it may be small, but it's just part of the human story, right? And we see this in the Bible as well. But what's something you're waiting on right now that you're waiting for? Maybe it's something financial. Maybe it's vocational. Maybe it's a relationship change. It could be some other area of your life. But what are you waiting for? And what is your posture right now in waiting? Is this sort of a passive thing? Or are we active? Are we open? And are we looking at God's purposes in the midst of that? What will our waiting look like? You know, I shared with you a few weeks ago, and I've shared this years ago as well with you as a church, but my wife and I went through 3+ years of infertility, and that was a really, really hard thing. It was less than ideal. It's hard on a marriage. It's just hard in general. There were a lot of difficult things that happened in the midst of that, a lot of visits to doctors, a lot of advice from people, right? And in the midst of that, I remember going, okay, well, this is hard. But what are we to do, and what am I to do? And of course, you know, live out our callings. My wife is a physician, and me as a pastor, obviously, keep working, keep loving neighbor, following God's commands. But there was another thing that occurred to me, and it was just a few earlier, is God had placed on my heart the desire to earn a doctorate. And I remember in the midst of that waiting for the outcome of what we were going through as a couple, I was thinking, this would be a great time to start that. We're empty nesters. We have the energy. I have more discretionary time. I should get that started. So get this. I start the doctorate with an empty nest. I finish it 5 years later with 3 children. It was, that's kind of you. Thanks. It was a lot easier to earn the doctorate without children. I did make a mental note of that. And by the way, I'm not trying to tie in the purpose with like the outcome that like my earning the doctorate somehow triggered that. In fact, the opposite is very stressful to do it. But all this to say is the importance of the midst of the season of life that we're in, that we look actively for purpose and for God's purpose. And during that period, there was a lot of this toward God. I was angry. I was sad. It was a real hardship on my wife and me. It was a difficult thing, but there's this great quote by C.S. Lewis in his book, The Silver Chair. He said this, "Crying is all right in its way while it lasts, but you have to stop sooner or later and still have to decide what to do." And it's true. We can cry We can shake our fists at God. We can have any number of ways of responding. But you still have to decide in the presence of your God what to do. So friends, what will waiting look like for you this season? How are you doing with waiting? What are you waiting on? And there's this great insight I gained from Reverend Dr. Tom Tool, who was a pastor I worked under when I was interning for Greg at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church over 20 years ago. And he once said to his church, he said, you know, maybe it's not so much that we're waiting on God, but that God is waiting on us. Is there a way maybe God's waiting on you right now? Maybe to follow him more closely. Maybe to seek his purposes. Maybe to reconcile with the person. Maybe to deepen your sense of passion and vocation. It's an important question. And it's something for us to think about. So oftentimes we put ourselves in the position of waiting on the whatever. But maybe right now it's God waiting on you. And I want to suggest a few things this Christmas as we endure waiting. The first one is this: find wonder in your waiting. Find wonder. Lap up this season. Great season for wonder. Awesome. Find your ritual. Maybe it's around the tree. Maybe it's here in this church, Sunday mornings, whatever it is. In nature, music, I don't know. Find wonder in your waiting. And let your wonder drive out your worry in the midst of your waiting. Let wonder drive out worry in the midst of your waiting. I believe in the power of wonder to do that. Find a way to practice wonder during your day when life is hitting you hard and you are enduring an outcome. Secondly, discern your active purpose in waiting. Whatever that is, God has a purpose for you in this. It ought not remain passive. God has an active purpose. Discern it. Discern it in prayer. Discern it with your friends. Find out what that is, but discern your active purpose in waiting. And thirdly and finally, wait. Let Kairos inform your Chronos. Kairos is God's fullness of time. Chronos is the hands of a clock, our time. Kairos is God's dimension, not bound by space or time, nor the past, present, or future, which is to say, allow Kairos to put in perspective your Chronos, and know there can be Kairos moments in your life where God unveils and reveals himself to you in a particular way that he hasn't before. And friends, that is precisely what the Christmas event is, where God sent, after 400 years of waiting for Israel, Jesus Christ, his only son. The greatest Kairos moment in all of world history. So friends, the waiting may be the hardest part, but there is this significant Kairos moment of God entering into human skin, into human flesh, and infant form. And so may we, friends, allow God something to reveal something of himself to you as you await his revealing in your heart, your life, your circumstance. Would you join me in prayer? God, waiting's hard. We don't like it. We recognize at the same time that waiting is a part of life. And so help us, Lord, to do it in a way that is faithful, that is active, that is preparatory. And so I pray for each person here. I pray that you would offer encouragement to us in the midst of our waiting this week as we go out into our busy daily lives. Send an encourager our way in the form of your Spirit, in the form of a friend, whoever it may be. And God, we pray for this season, that you would create space in our lives for time to worship, time to engage, time for neighbor love as well, as we seek your active presence in the world. Through Christ we pray, amen.
We learned about active waiting and how Tom Tool a mentor to both of us, reminded us that sometimes God is waiting on us to be ready for what God wants to do. I can tell you that one thing we know about this season, that the center, is that God is with us, Emmanuel. You don't have to wait for that. And that here at the communion service, where we enter into union as a community with one another and with God through the taking of bread and juice, we experience God present with us. So we may be waiting for a lot of things, but I can tell you one thing we don't need to wait for. God. Because God is here. God is here in the community. God is here in this communion service. But maybe God is waiting for you to say yes one more time to God's offer of yes in Jesus Christ. So if you come to this communion, this is a Presbyterian altar call, ultimately. Because see, we're going to walk forward. Well, I'm already here, but you're going to walk forward. And those steps are saying, God, I am ready for you in my life. And they might be the first time you said that. And if so, let one of the pastors or one of the ushers or elders or deacons know that you're saying yes to Jesus Christ for the first time. But it also might be a chance for you to say yes to Jesus Christ because you need to say yes again. Maybe God's waiting for that today. God is waiting and inviting you to come to this table. Because here we experience the grace of Jesus Christ. Join your hearts with me in prayer. God, we are thankful that through these common elements, you are present. Through the community of faith that surrounds us, you are present. Through the worship and the preaching of the word, you are present. And however we might be waiting, we sense that you're waiting on us to respond to your gracious gift of faith in Jesus Christ and new life. So as we come forward, bring your Holy Spirit, fill this time, fill our actions, fill this sanctuary even more deeply, that we may experience you here and say, God, it is truly good news that you are with us in Jesus. Bring your Holy Spirit for that very purpose in this time of communion, we pray. Amen.